Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joined by Albert Breer of the MMQB.com. Albert, how's your holidays been going, man?
Oh, it was great. I'm sorry I'm late, guys, but did I just hear did somebody say that, like, Baker's now going to be mad at John Dorsey? What would he be mad at Dorsey for? He took him first overall.
I have no idea. That guy hung on for about an hour, 10 minutes, and we appreciate him hanging on as long as he did.
And then ran him in 38 seconds.
No, yeah, once he got there, it was...
I was sort of interested to see where he was going with that, because I can't for the life of me think of why you'd be mad at a guy who drafted you with the first pick.
So we were talking about people that Baker Mayfield has just kind of developed his arch nemesis with, right? Like, so we go everything with Hugh Jackson that just went down, and then joined by Jason Lloyd over here, who had a story with, you know, Gary Patterson, and how Baker used that in the college ranks to kind of fuel him. My takeoff of this is that at this point, he needs to find a better arch nemesis than Hugh Jackson, though. And he's got to find something to continue to keep that going for him, right?
Yeah, but I think you have to understand how these guys work, though. You know, I can remember, because when I first started covering the NFL, I'm covering the Patriots, and they would always create these demons, you know, there came a point where they got so good that the demons didn't even exist anymore. They were just sort of inventing them. And I'll give you guys a great example, right? So you guys remember the 2004 AFC Championship game?
Mm-hmm.
And that was the Patriots were going to get in their third Super Bowl in 4 years. And they were favored against a Steelers team that blew them out during the regular season on the road. So think about that, right? Like, you are favored on the road against a team that blew you out during the regular season in the playoffs, all right? Rodney Harrison came out after that game and said, "No one believed in you. No one believed in us." Like, dude, everyone believed in you. You were favored on the road in the AFC title game. And I don't think that had happened in, like, 20 years. And so it's just a lot of these guys create these, like, enemies, these adversaries. And, like, I'll just tell you this about Baker. Like, once the Hugh Jackson thing's passed, like, get ready, because he's gonna invent something else, you know? It's just the way a lot of these athletes are built. And I think Baker's always going to be a short guy who was overlooked by all those colleges. It's part of who he is. I remember talking to Brady about it. It's like, he's like, I never want to grow past being the sixth round pick, you know? I think it's just something that's going to live with Baker forever. And I don't think it's a bad thing. Look, you know, if you liked Baker planting the flag in Columbus, right?
Yeah.
Then you can't dislike what he's doing with Hugh Jackson, because it's the exact same thing. He's inventing it. Like, to some degree, he's generating an enemy. He's generating someone to fight against. And, I have a hard time mustering anger up against something that's, you know, I think part of who the guy is. He's being honest with us about it, which I'd always encourage.
Albert, it's funny you say that. You use the word invent a couple times, because that's exactly, when I was in Oklahoma reporting on the story, that's exactly what people in Oklahoma were saying, was Baker will, if Baker can't find an enemy, he will invent one. And that's where the Gary Patterson thing came from, where Patterson finally got sick of answering about it. It was like, hey, there's 128 schools in Division I that passed on him. Like, why is he directing all his venom at me? There's a lot more than just me out there, but that's just sort of the mentality that he has.
No, I mean, like, think about this, right? So, like, you guys know why he planted the flag in Columbus? Like, he planted the flag in Columbus because the Ohio State players sung Carmen, Ohio after winning in Norman, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you guys know the history of Ohio State, like, that was a tradition that was started by Jim Tressel.
Yep.
And they do that after every game, win or lose, home or on the road, every game, every year, right? So it's been, at that point, it's been like 16 years of doing that, right? And yet, like, Baker somehow created the idea in his mind that they were openly disrespecting him, and they were openly disrespecting Oklahoma. And here again, he didn't say anything about it to anybody for a year. And then, what do you know? You know, they come in, they beat Ohio State and Columbus, and he's taking a flag and sticking it in the 50-yard line. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it would have taken 10 seconds of research for Baker to realize, oh, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. I have no need to be mad about that. Like, it would have taken literally like 10 minutes of research.
They probably still told him that, and he like just threw it aside and said, no. This was directed at me, obviously.
Right. So, I mean, look, is it like a little silly? Can it get a little silly and childish sometimes? Sure. Is it entertaining as hell? Yeah, it is. You know, I'd rather have a guy doing that. Like, honestly, I'd rather have a guy doing that than like spitting cliches at us for 10 years. You know what I
Absolutely.
Mean?
Absolutely.
I think that what you guys have in Cleveland, like, that's a gift. Be grateful for it, because not only does it look like you guys are going to have a great quarterback play for the next 10 or 15 years, it looks like you guys have one hell of a personality to go with it.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Joined by Albert Breer of the MMQB.com here on 92.3 The Fan. So I made my way over to your Monday morning column, as I always do every week. And, I was looking for nuggets on the Browns coaching search. And I saw, a ton of the Dolphins, saw a ton of the Packers, all sorts of nuggets on Denver and for the Bengals. And then it goes, I'm told the Browns process will be absolutely wide open. And that's kind of the sense that we're getting over here, Albert, too.
You know what I'll tell you about that? So here's what I would say. I would say that I think that, like, there are a lot of teams that feel like they're going to have to be creative. And the reason why is the pipeline has just been sucked dry. I mean, if you want to look at the totality of it, it's 7 to 8 coaching changes, which is basically a quarter of the league turning over every year for the last 8 years. So that's something like 60 coaching changes over the last 8 years. Of course, it's going to be harder to find guys if you keep ripping through guys like that, you know? And so, I think there are a lot of teams that are sort of out there. There are a couple, and the Ravens already did this, but like, basically look at their head coach and are saying to themselves, do we really want to do this? Like, when we really don't know what's behind door number two. So that's part of it. And I think, you know, there's going to be more teams looking at the college level because of that. And I think there's even going to be some teams looking at sitting head coaches because of that. Like, I look at someone like Adam Gase in Miami, and I'm just telling you guys, like, if they try to take some of his power away, like, I could see that being a guy who's suddenly available, you know? Like, so there are certain guys out there, and remember, Gase interviewed in Cleveland. He's a quarterbacks guy. He came to Cleveland to interview at the recommendation of Peyton Manning. It's just, I could see, like, where you would see that there are certain scenarios out there that are standard scenarios, right? Like, going higher Josh McDaniels. There's the college scenario, going higher Matt Campbell. Or there's the, you know, get creative and, like, let's think outside the box a little bit. Maybe you go and you try to pill for a guy like an Adam Gase. I think there are lots of interesting scenarios out there. And that's why I think the Browns are taking a wide open approach to it, because it's not one of those years where, you know, there are one or two candidates that everybody's just going to be lusting after.
Well, it's interesting you put it that way, because I've been the guy all along saying you can't run out and give the job to Greg Williams just because they've had a little bit of success this year. But the picture that you're painting makes it sound like it would almost improve his chances a little bit. And I kind of think that the Browns job is number one, is going to be the number one vacancy that anyone would want. So who is out there that is better than Greg? Because if there's not that many great candidates, you're kind of hurting my argument here.
That's a matter of perspective. Like, you know, I think it would have been John Harbaugh. Okay.
Yep.
And assuming John doesn't force his way out, which, I mean, look, if he doesn't sign an extension in Baltimore, you know, then, you know, what happens there? So, you know, assuming that John's staying in Baltimore, then, you know, I think you look at it, and is it Mike McCarthy? Is it, you know, is it Josh McDaniels? Is it that there's not a single name out there where you look at it and you say that's the belly of the ball. The one guy who I would say would come close to fitting that category or fitting that description would be Lincoln Riley, who I think is going to be very difficult to get out of Oklahoma. And so I think that's part of it. But here's the flip side, guys. All right. And the flip side of it is, like you said, like, you've got a very attractive job. You know what I mean? Like, you've got a ton of cap space. You've got your draft picks intact. You've got a quarterback who I think most people in the NFL see as like a star for the next 10 to 15 years. And you've got a good talent base of a good base of, you know, 23, 24, 25-year-old players to go with him. I look at the Cleveland situation as a very, very good one. And to me, like, even more so than a Green Bay, which already has an all-time great in place, I think you can make a very real argument that Cleveland can go to these candidates and say to them, this is the best situation right now that's available in the NFL.
What is your sense on Jimmy Haslam? Is he going to – I mean, ownership always has the final say in every coaching hire, of course.
Yeah.
But how much of this do you think he's going to meddle, and how much of this do you think it's really John's call?
I think he's going to be involved. I think he likes Josh McDaniels. I think he likes Adam Gase. You know, I think that there are names that he likes. And, you know, I think John's going to be given, you know, the ability to lead the search and all of that. But, you know, ultimately it is the owner's team, so he's going to sign off on whatever, you know, whatever he feels like signing off on. And so I think Jimmy is being earnest when he says, like, you know, John Dorsey's going to lead the search, but I mean, the reality of it is that the reality that exists everywhere, which is, you know, ultimately you're making a decision for the organization that, I mean, if it goes well, it's a 15-year decision, you know, and
right.
So the owner's got to be comfortable with whatever that decision is.
Do you have any sense on how Jimmy feels about Greg Williams?
Oh, I think that there's definitely some affection for what he's done. I mean, I would have told you guys a month ago that it was a 0% chance that he was gonna get that job.
Right.
I don't think it's 0% anymore. So, I think that there's certainly good feelings for what he's done. I think Freddie Kitchens deserves to be in that category too. You know, I think Freddie's done a hell of a job also. So, I think there's, you know, a genuine appreciation for what those guys have done, and I wouldn't be totally shocked if both Greg and Freddie get a chance to interview for the job.
I was saying, is it still taboo to wonder whether or not Freddie Kitchens could end up as a head coach in another?
No. I mean, this is a guy who was a quarterback at Alabama and was basically the quarterback's coach who helped resurrect Carson Palmer's career in Arizona. And so, like, beyond just what he's done this year in Cleveland, like, he's got a lot of good history in the NFL, period. And he worked for Bill Parcells, and, you know, he was part of a Super Bowl staff in Arizona. And this is a guy who's got really, really good experience and really good quarterback experience. A guy who played the game at a, you know, pretty high level himself. And so I think there's, you know, I think the argument would be whether or not he's ready yet. But there are plenty of people who are looking at him now and saying, at the very least, you know, in a year or two, if he keeps, you know, coaching the way he's coached this year, he's going to have a shot to be one of those names.
Yeah, that'll be the big mistake. If they lose out on Freddie Kitchens, goes to another team, and has a great career, that's the one. I worry more about that one than I do Greg Williams.
Yeah, and you know what? There is some merit to it. I will say this. There is some merit to it. I mean, I take you back to the Rams making their hire a couple of years ago, and one of the reasons they hired Sean McVay, you know, the big question, of course, was his age, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a different sort of question because he'd been a coordinator for a few years. The biggest question was, can we really hire a 30-year-old? And I remember talking to people there, and they said to themselves, like, this guy came in, he blew us away in the interview. We think he's incredible. And it's like, and then the question became, okay, but is he ready? And the way they started answering that was, you know, they said, well, you know, what's the worst thing that can happen? We go through some bumps the first couple of years, right? It's like, and the worst thing that can happen on the other end is that we don't hire him now, and the next year perception is that he is ready. Someone else hires him, he's gone forever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's sort of what you're talking about. It's like with McVay, it was like, if we don't hire him now, someone's going to hire him in the next year or two, and we won't have a shot to because we'll have just hired our coach, and so then that guy is gone forever.
Yeah, that's the worry, and that's what's going to keep John Dorsey up at night. Albert Breer, the MMQB.com. I appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your holidays, man.
All right, thanks, guys. Happy holidays.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.